For those of you that don't know, Val and I had our third baby last Saturday. So he is a week and a day old. His name is Lincoln. Lincoln James. He was 8 pounds, 10 ounces, and I wrapped him in a Kinect t-shirt for the heck of it. That's not like after he was born. That wasn't like the first thing I put him in, but it would have been funny. But anyways, I wanted to, thought I'd show you guys that. Next, it's coming up soon when we do our time change, schedule change for the church. When the temple goes to first hour and bridge goes to second hour, and then what is happening down here, I just kind of want to reiterate all of this stuff about what's going on down here. And if you don't have a copy of the letter that I gave to everybody for their parents so that they have a clear understanding of what's going on, because this is not, nothing's going on in senior high. I've heard that a couple of times from people talking, and that they're saying, oh, well, I guess senior high is just not doing nothing. That could not be further from the truth. Okay, this is going to be an important thing that we're doing on Sunday morning, discipleship and service. If you're not in a discipleship group with one of our leaders or maybe with a few other students, you got a couple of weeks to do that. But if you show up on that Sunday morning and you're like, whatever, you can just jump in one. That's totally fine. We're going to be going through an 8-week study that's all the fundamentals of the faith, the basics, because, you know, as Shane talked about last week, you can't slam until you've grown, you know. So we're going to start with some milk and work it up, okay, so that you have a clear understanding of why you believe what you believe if you don't understand that. But it's really good to just go over that stuff and reaffirm that kind of stuff. So Sunday morning, between 9 a.m. and 10:30, senior high is going to be open for, not used to these cord things, to be able to go through our book and on through other discipleship kind of things that are basically just one-on-one lessons. If you're like, what is discipleship? We're sitting down, like think of it like a Bible study, like a small group Bible study where everybody's going through the same thing. There's a book with fill in the blanks and the whole nine. It's actually a lot of fun. I've gone through the first two, or actually the first one. I'm going through part two with somebody else this week, and it's actually kind of fun to go through it. So that's going to be Sunday morning. Wednesday night is going to become our main night. So like what's going on right now is really what's going to happen on Wednesday nights. But we're going to do gladiator games as well and a few other things because we're going to have a little bit longer. You know, we have to cram a whole lot of stuff into about 45, 50 minutes on a Sunday morning. This way we'll have 2 hours to do everything that we want. So we'll be doing praise and worship then. We'll be doing, that's when I'll be doing lesson series and all that good stuff. That is that. If anybody has any questions of that, about that, you can talk to me after the fact. But right now, we're going to get into our next series, which is called Angry. And I want to talk about anger for a little bit. What makes you mad? Somebody give me some examples. What are like your pet peeves? What's something that ticks you off? Bad drivers. Okay. Joey? People slurping their drinks ticks you off to no end. All right. Yeah. Annoying little noises everywhere. Yeah. Yes, Lexi. People chewing with their mouth open. Okay. One-word text messages. Anybody get ticked off by that? Yeah. All right. Well, I'm the king of sending back K, so don't get offended if I do that. All right. Sometimes I'll put an exclamation point. I can't hear you. When people put their feet in your face. That's, okay. That's a whole nother counseling session there. People who text in a movie. Okay, mine would be people who text in while I'm speaking, if I'm just being honest. Misspelling. Yeah. Misspelling. Wow. The world would be such a better place if we were all better spellers. Yeah. Joey again. Yes. What's that? Yes. That is annoying. People that talk nonstop in movie theaters. You're trying to watch a movie and you're like, shut up. You know? Yeah. Being told what to do. Okay. Let me give you an example. Okay, go ahead. Last one. Being kicked in the back at movie theaters. Okay. Everybody is really angry about movie theaters. We all need to just not go to the movies for a while, but there's some good ones out right now. Let me give you an example of something that I got ticked off about this past weekend. Actually, it was about a week ago right now. Okay. I'm sitting in the hospital. All right. Val is on her bed. You know, they call it a birthing bed. She gave birth on that bed. All right. I got a cot to sleep next to her on. Okay. And so the next morning, it was probably about this time, 10 o'clock, you know, Shane was teasing you with bacon and eggs. And the nurse comes in, and this bed that they put Val on, it sits up and that kind of thing. It's not very comfortable. And you would think it would be. Okay, and I'm looking at this, and, you know, like, during the night, she's like, man, this thing is so hard, you know, and I'm not comfortable, and I'm like, you know, okay, whatever, I'm on a cot here, you know, but I didn't really say that, you know, but it was, like, squishy, and it made a lot of noises and stuff, but it wasn't the most comfortable thing in the world, so she had me, like, sit on this bed, you know, she actually got up to go to the bathroom or whatever, and I sat on that bed, and I'm like, good grief, I mean, honestly, it's like these chairs you're sitting on, that's seriously what it is. Like, imagine if the chair you're sitting on could lay down flat, and then you could sleep on it, and it was big. Yay, comfort, okay? So she's like, telling me this, and the nurse walks in, and Val goes, and this is all she said. She wasn't mean about it or anything. She goes, man, these beds are just not comfortable like that. And come to find out, the cot I was on was actually more comfortable than that bed. She's like, man, these are not comfortable. And the nurse walks in and goes, well, this ain't the Hilton. Like that. And I'm like, now granted, I'm going on like 15, you know, 5 minutes sleep here. Because we had to be at the hospital at 4 a.m. the day before. We had barely slept that night because, the baby was up a little bit. We got maybe 4 or 5 hours sleep, max. Max. But we were wiped anyway. And she walks in with, well, this ain't the Hilton. Now, she didn't mean it that way. She didn't really mean it wrong. But when I'm tired, it's very easy to set me off. Just fair warning to everybody. All right. And she does that. And I'm laying on the cot. And my first instinct is like, oh, no, you didn't. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, you did not just, but I'm like, yeah, it's 6 times more than the Hilton to stay here, lady, you know? And the least you could, she just gave birth to a child and you're giving her like a table to sleep on, you know? And so I just had to kind of like, woosah, you know, just like take a breath for a minute and like back off because I was getting ticked. I was just sitting there like steaming. You know, for a minute. And I just kind of had to like, okay, I'm a pastor. She knows I'm a pastor. I can't just like call off on her, you know. And so I'm like going through some things. But like even more importantly than that, I'm a Christian. All right. More importantly than what my job is. Because, yeah, she's looking at that and going, okay, I know he works at ABT and I know what he does. And all that. If I'd have just been like, yeah, well, you're, you know, and just like hauled off on her verbally, you know. Lord knows what she would have done to our kid, for one thing. But no, she wouldn't have. But I was getting mad over something completely stupid. I was getting mad over something that was completely pointless and completely dumb. And I was getting ticked off over something that didn't really matter. How many times do we do that in our life? You know? I mean, whether it's something like my parents are being unreasonable or my teacher's picking on me. It was the dude sitting next to me that was talking. It wasn't me. I looked over at him, and I get pointed at for talking. That's a bunch of crap, and you get all ticked off. How many of us, our brains and common sense shut off when we get mad? Raise your hand. Right? Yeah, that's kind of me too. All right? Okay, now, everybody that raised your hand, you're now aware of it. Okay? So you don't have an excuse. You're now aware of something. You're aware of a little bit of a problem that you have, all right? All kinds of different situations happen that make us angry, and we get angry over things that don't really matter, don't we? Most of the time when we're getting angry and we're getting ticked off, we're getting angry over things that don't really matter. And here's the thing. We can actually use anger for something useful. We really can. And it's in the Bible, believe it or not. We don't always use it. In fact, we hardly ever use it in a way that can be useful. God gave us anger, right? He actually gave us that emotion because we have emotions. So obviously he gave it to us for a reason. It's the toughest one to control, if you ask me, probably just about anybody. It's the toughest one to really get your arms around and to be able to control it. If you got your Bibles, turn to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 3. And I'm going to show you how Jesus used anger. There's actually a couple of times in the Bible where Jesus gets angry about stuff, and you're like, but he was perfect. Jesus didn't get mad. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. But what we can learn from him is how he used it. What did he do with it? All right, now, small little bit of background here. We're in Israel, right? 100 years before Jesus came, Israel's conquered by Rome. All right, so Roman government has conquered everything, infiltrated everything that's in there, as far as like the people that are running the church, running the governors and all the different people in power are people that were put in by the Roman government, okay, handpicked. Even like the priests and stuff like that were part of the Jewish tradition were put in there for a Roman government influence. All right, so the Jewish people, they were angry and they were frustrated with this because they knew some of these things that were being put on them and some of the things that were being talked about. You hear a lot of times in the Bible, sometimes we talk about the law and it says like the law. Some of these guys would take these laws and take them to the furthest extent and even add things to them that aren't even right, take them completely out of context, which actually happens today, okay, all the time. So we're here in Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. It says, Jesus went into the synagogue again, synagogue just being like a church, and noticed a man with a deformed hand. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Okay, let's stop right there for a second. So, guy in there with a deformed hand, Jesus wants to heal him, but it's the Sabbath day, okay? So let's go 10 commandments. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So they take that to the extent of no working, period, on the Sabbath. You cannot work. Okay, my question is, define for me work, all right, for one thing, all right? But, so they're trying to set Jesus up here because they don't like him. So they're sitting there watching him. Jesus knows that they're watching him. And he gets a little angry about this, all right? And here's how he responds, all right? Verse 3. Jesus said to the man with a deformed hand, come and stand in front of everyone. Then he turned to his critics and asked, does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save life or destroy it? But they wouldn't answer him. He looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand, and it was restored. At once the Pharisees went away and met with the supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. Jesus directed his anger towards something useful. All right, he was angry about a few things there. But he wasn't just angry because they were mad because he was going to heal his hand. We got to look a little bit deeper than that. He was angry about the compromise. That's really what he was mad about. He was upset because the people had compromised the law. The people had compromised what God's love was really all about. For crying out loud, he just wanted to heal this man's hand. And Jesus is like, okay, so I can't heal this guy because of the day of the week it is? Like, seriously? That's the Son of God throwing that back out. Jesus came to bring restoration. That's why he came. He came to restore us. He came to restore this planet. At least that was his attempt. Was to do that, and he did that with the cross. That's what the cross was really about. It was restoring us, because through that we can be restored, because it wiped away all the sin. Problem is, we have to let him. If we get engaged with real problems, then we get a sense of perspective, because a lot of times we don't deal with real problems. We're getting ticked about stuff, you know, like a lady making a comment about a hospital bed, you know. Now, what good was that going to do? What if 10 minutes later she comes in and I end up getting into some sort of spiritual conversation with her? But 10 minutes before that, I chewed her out because she made some little comment to Val that she probably didn't mean anything by it. She probably was just kind of joking. Just at the time, I wasn't in a mood for any jokes, you know? But what if I had chewed her out for that? And then, you know, 6 hours later or whatever, I get into some spiritual conversation. Do you think she's going to want anything to do with my Jesus after I just threw her under the bus? Absolutely not. Why? Because I got mad over something that was stupid. I literally sat there and thought that. I'm not just making this up. It was one of those weird things that just happened to tie in with this lesson. I literally sat there and went, this is dumb. Why am I getting mad over this? She didn't mean nothing by that. And I had to like replay it in my mind. Have you ever done that? You just like rewind and you're like, okay, let me rewatch this. No, she really didn't mean anything. I guess I was looking for somebody to be mad at. I don't know. But the thing is, we got to use our passion, use our anger and our passion for things that matter instead of wasting our time nitpicking at stuff. So what if we could take the power, take the force of anger and put it towards people, towards situations, towards problems that actually matter and use it for good? What if we could do that? You know, think about it. We go on a missions trip, say, and, you know, for those of you that went to Mission Akron, because we haven't gone to West Virginia yet, but, you know, you guys met some people, some local people around here, you know, on that trip. Now, you're on that trip, and then, say, you run into them a few months later, and they remember you. Maybe it's one of those little kids from the five-day club, and they see you just, like, screaming somebody down, and you're mad over something completely stupid. Or maybe a good friend of yours' parents are going through a divorce or something like that, and you're trying to be there for them. But then you turn around and go home, and you yell at your parents, and you get ticked off at your mom because she won't get you the newest droid or whatever. Something's not lining up there, guys. It's not lining up. I was going to make this my connection point, but I didn't. But if you only hear two things that I say today, hear this, because these will make a difference. Misusing anger is always a result of selfishness. Always. You can't tell me one time that you've been angry about something and you've handled it the wrong way that it wasn't because you were being selfish. It always is when you really break it down. It's always about us because the most important person to me is me. That's something that's built in. That's something we have to unlearn. But our connection point for today actually is this. Everyone gets angry, but not everyone gets angry about the things that matter. How many things in your life, if you look at your life right now and you look at the things that you get ticked off about, are you getting mad about that has nothing to do with the big picture? That getting mad about it isn't helping anything. It's not solving it. There's always going to be something different than you expected in your life. There's always going to be something to complain about, and there's always going to be somebody in your way that needs your help. And maybe you getting angry about something and using it the right way, getting angry about and turning that into passion toward help. You know, I look down at that church in Oceana when I went down there, and I look at the community of people down there when I actually traveled down there, and it made me even more passionate about wanting to go down and wanting to help after meeting some of the people down there, seeing some of the things down there. I'm not trying to give them my sympathy. That's completely different. But I want to go down there and spread the love of Christ and to help that church reach their community. There's a way that we are going to use anger, if you will, in a positive way to help them. I'm not like angry. I'm not like ticked off about that. But you know, last week when Shane was up here teaching, this is a perfect example, and I'll close with this so we can go into our hyperlink time. When Shane was up here teaching, I guarantee you that his lesson last week, if you didn't listen to it or you weren't here, please go on and listen to it. That lesson was a result of anger. It was. He was angry, is, and actually all of us as leaders, kind of it makes us angry to see you guys not taking advantage sometimes a lot of times, of the teaching times and the things that are available to you here at this church. I was at the Cherry Blossom Festival parade yesterday morning, and I watched this church come by. There was a church that had, like, I don't know, it wasn't a float, but they just sort of walked by. It was their entire youth group. It was basically this front row. That was their whole youth group. We're down today, and we got 45. Guys, you are blessed with one of the best youth groups, and it has nothing to do with me. Please don't misunderstand me when I say that. We have one of the most blessed youth groups probably in the state with all the stuff that we have and the things that we're able to do and the stuff that we're able to provide you because of the resources. When Shane was talking, he was using anger in a positive way. He turned that around into passion towards you guys because we love you guys. As leaders, we love you guys. And that was where that came from. You saw last week a perfect example of taking anger and using it in a good way.